Today we are continuing our series on tips for staying together. Today I want to talk to you about offering grace. Not saying grace. We do that before dinner or lunch. Offering grace. Being gracious. Being forgiving even. Love covers over a multitude of sin, is what the scripture says. Love covers over a multitude of sin. And as we're in our homes and we're stuck living together, we're together as a family more often, there's a lot more grace that's required for us to be together and stay together. I think I mentioned to you guys a couple of weeks ago about China and how the divorce rate has increased so much in China. It's a horrible situation over there. Because they stayed together so much, they ended up realizing we don't like each other anymore. It's a very difficult situation. So it's going to take grace for us to successfully get through this time and be intact as families, as marriages, and our church family needs to stay together and come through this together. The grace is a huge, huge part of it. Jesus said it like this in Matthew chapter 10, verse 18. Give as freely as you have received. What was he saying? You have received grace. Give it. Whatever you've received from God, give it. In fact, it goes so far as to understand that when you've been given grace by another human being, give it freely to another human being. But we most assuredly have been given grace by God. We've been given forgiveness by God. I don't want to interchange grace with forgiveness because they are two different things, but it does take grace for us to get to a place of forgiveness. So this morning, I mostly want to talk about forgiveness and understand how grace does get us to a place of forgiveness. What we have received by God's grace and what we are given by God's forgiveness is important for us to pass on, and it's important for us to have in our lives as an ingredient in our homes so that we can be together, we can stay together. How do we give forgiveness to other people? There's a lot of wrong thinking when it comes to forgiveness. There's a lot of myths, so I want to talk about four of those real quickly. One, myth number one is that forgiveness is conditional. It's based on them and what they do. Now, grace is conditional. Grace is freely given, but it's only, grace is given to the humble, is what the scripture says. Grace is given to the humble, but the law is given to the proud. But forgiveness is not conditional. Forgiveness is not based on what they do. Forgiveness is a decision that you make. Myth number two, to forgive somebody means that I have to minimize the offense and pretend that it didn't hurt as badly as I thought it did. That's not good. That's not right. That's a myth. You don't have to minimize the offense and you don't have to pretend it didn't hurt in order for you to forgive somebody. Myth number three, forgiveness includes restoring trust and reuniting a relationship. That's not true either. Myth number four, you haven't really forgiven until you've forgotten the offense. That's not true either. Let's talk about the conditional part. Forgiveness is not conditional. In other words, it's not based on some kind of condition. In fact, the Bible says it's just the opposite. You forgive whether they ask for it or not. You forgive no matter what they're doing with the offense or not. You see, when you tell a person, I will forgive you if... that's not forgiveness. You're bargaining, not forgiving. You're trying to manipulate. You're trying to coerce them to do something or be something so that you can then forgive them. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, he was forgiving the people there at that moment. He was talking to the Father about it. And he even asked the Father to forgive them. Forgiveness is not based on conditions. Secondly, it's not minimizing the offense, the seriousness of it. Real forgiveness is not looking at an offense and saying, well, it didn't hurt that bad, and pretending that it's not as difficult as it was. It's not saying, oh, it's no big deal. I'll just let you go. I'll just let you off the hook. It really didn't hurt that bad. You know, in the big scheme of things, that's not forgiveness. Minimizing the seriousness is not what it's about. And you need to understand also, there's a difference between being wronged and wounded. There's a difference. When you're wounded, it's because someone unintentionally did something to you. But when you're wronged, it was intentional. Somebody intentionally did it. Both require grace. It takes grace to let things go. You know, people are going to hurt you accidentally. You're going to get hurt by people, and it takes grace to let it go. I know a guy that he's a little different, and when I talk to him, he's a close talker, but it's worse than that. When he gets close, and he's like right here in my face, I can then see also that he's grown an eyebrow on the crest of his nose, and it's kind of just dangling there. And it's worse than that. He spits when he talks. And so he gets right in my face and he's spitting. Now, if you know me at all, that's a problem. That's a little bit of a problem. And it requires extreme amounts of grace. He's not intentionally doing this to me. So I've learned that when we talk, that I need to turn to the side and I'll stick my foot out and have it there between him and me, and that keeps him from being able to close talk. But it requires an immense amount of grace on my part to have a conversation with this guy. He's not doing this because he means it. He's not intentionally doing it. But I have to humble myself, and I have to remain in a relationship with this guy and talk with him through any situation that he's got going on. Do people do things wrong to you that hurt you sometimes and not know it? Absolutely they do. That doesn't require forgiveness. That requires grace, and it requires acceptance. We live in a fallen world. The people around us are not perfect. They're going to make mistakes. They're going to hurt you accidentally. At home, there are things that people do that don't require forgiveness. They leave the toilet seat up. They use all the hot water. And you get in the shower and you're like, where'd the hot water go? They spill the milk. It requires grace to give up on to give over these things and get over these things and just love these people. There's got to be room for error for the people in your life. And staying together requires room for error, a margin for error that they know that you're going to just be gracious and loving and even at sometimes just laugh it off. One of the things that Angela has no idea that this just drives me crazy. The bathroom gets hot while she's blow drying her hair. There's heat coming out of that blow dryer. She's got a lot of hair, and so it takes a while for her to blow dry her hair, and she gets so hot in that bathroom. I put a ceiling fan in, but that wasn't enough. We had to buy a little black fan, and it sits on the floor right next to in front of my sink. So every time I approach my sink, there's that little black fan on the floor. And I'm about to kick it every time I approach the sink. And it would be, you know, just kind of unreasonable. She uses it every day, so we'd have to pick it up and put it somewhere else. And so we just leave it there. But every time I approach that sink, there's that little black fan. And I think, okay, that's in my way. But you see, I have to be gracious and understand this is a real need of hers and love her in spite of that little black fan. And in fact, I reroute my thinking and I start visualizing her with that fan blowing on her, and suddenly she's got windblown hair and it's beautiful. See how you can turn it around and be gracious. All right, so the point is, we have people in our lives, and if we want to stay together, we can't let these little things drive us crazy. We have to administer grace in our lives and love people through the little things, the things that frustrate us or the things that we just don't like, the things that aren't just perfect for us. Now, forgiveness, however, is a different deal. It takes grace to get to forgiveness. Forgiveness needs to be reserved for the big things. I don't need to forgive Angela because she uses that fan. I don't need to forgive somebody because they used all the hot water And I had to take a cold shower. I don't need to forgive somebody for that. I just need to accept them, and I need to administer grace to that. But the big things require forgiveness. When people intentionally hurt, when people intentionally harm. In Exodus, God has just finished giving people the Ten Commandments. And we always say, well, he gave us 10 things and it covers it all. But you've got to understand, after the 10 commandments, God then began to give them some very detailed communication of, here's what justice looks like. Here's what you do in this situation. And he gives a lot of different scenarios for a couple of chapters of different stories, different things that could possibly happen to help the people to know what grace and what forgiveness and what justice looks like and how to pay back in a situation. And so he gave them a lot of these life scenarios to help them to understand and help them to administer justice. Well, listen to how God was detailed. I want to take one of those little scenarios and just give it to you really quick. He says this in Exodus chapter 21, verses 35 through 36. He says this, If anyone's bull injures someone else's bull and it dies, the two parties are to sell the live one and divide the money and the dead animal equally. All right, so what's he saying? I've got a couple of bunnies here. We don't keep bulls in our house. We're more like bunny people. So let's pretend these are bulls. He says, if anyone's bull injures someone else's bull and it dies. So let's say this one kills this one. He's got his eyes cold closed, so he's dead. This one's alive. The two parties are to sell the live one and divide the money and the dead animal. They'll cut it in half and divide the dead animal and divide the money, and that's the way to deal with the situation. But then he goes a step further and he says, what if the person wronged the other person? What if this was an intentional situation? He says this, and I'm going to quote scripture. He says, however, if it was known that this bull had the habit of goring, yet the owner didn't keep this bull pinned up to protect other people's bulls from it, the owner must pay animal for animal and take the dead animal in exchange. What's he saying? We're going to administer some grace and a little bit of forgiveness so that the guy that let his bull run free that was irresponsible, we're going to let him still have something. We're going to let him have the dead one. So grace and forgiveness. But he's got to give the live one to the other guy. And that's some of the illustrations that God gave us in the book of Exodus. He was giving the people the things that they could do to administer justice, but grace and mercy at the same time. God is saying there's a difference between knowingly hurting you and someone knowingly hurting you, unknowingly hurting you. Both require grace. Both require grace to be given. But one requires forgiveness, that's for sure. You see, whenever you minimize a wrong and say, that didn't hurt, it's no big deal, I deserved it. Whenever you minimize that, you cheapen forgiveness when it's given, and you cheapen grace when you give it. Reserve forgiveness, though, for the serious things. Here's the tip. Minimize people's unintentional failures in your life. Show grace. Minimize those things. Don't make them as big as they seem to be. Imagine if we had stories about Jesus walking through town, and he was telling the people what great losers they were. Imagine if Jesus had this judgmental personality, or that he would get angry and frustrated with people over all these little things. But we read the stories from Jesus' closest followers, the guys that were in on the inside, and these guys recognize how gracious and how loving and how easy he was to be around. And you can imagine, Jesus knew everything. He knew it all. He was the creator. And yet he was gracious and loving, patient and kind. people felt accepted and loved by him. So we minimize people's unintentional failures. But at the same time, we also forgive people's intentional failures. Forgive them. Whether they ask for it or not is not any of their business, whether you forgive them or not. It's you give it. You give it. You show grace. The third one, forgiveness is not resuming a relationship without change. You see, forgiveness is not the same as reconciliation. Just because you forgive somebody does not mean they're back into your life in a relationship. These are two different situations, two different issues. Forgiveness is instant, but the relationship has to be rebuilt. Your part is to forgive. Their part is to begin getting on the path to restoration in your life in a relationship. That's their part. Reconciliation has to be given. In order for them to be reconciled with you, there are three things. One, repentance. Second, restitution. Where and when it's possible, they need to make it right. They need to pay you for the bull they killed. Number three, rebuilding the relationship is their responsibility, and you have to allow for a path to do that. So just because God has forgiven us, which he's forgiven you for your sin, doesn't mean your relationship with him has been restored. You see, God did his part. He forgave you. But now it's your responsibility to restore the relationship. It's your responsibility to get to know him, what he likes, doesn't like, and begin to accommodate for him in your life. If you're wondering why you don't hear from God, if you're wondering why you don't feel close to God, you haven't restored and repaired that relationship. God forgave you. He did his part. But now it's time for you to restore and repair, work on that relationship with him. All right, so forgiveness doesn't mean just instant restoration. You don't just let somebody back into your life when they've seriously offended you, seriously done something. You forgive them, but you create a path for them to come back. That's forgiveness. Number four, real forgiveness is not forgetting what happened. You don't just pretend what happened. There's the old cliche, because this cliche is very important in America, forgive and forget. Is it really possible to forget? No. It's sweet and it's nice, but the greater the offense, the less likelihood that you're going to be able to forget it. So it's not really possible. God can get that done, but humans can't. And let me say this, there's something far better than forgetting what someone did to you. Something far better. And it's remembering and realizing the sovereign grace of God at work in your life and in others. In Genesis, there's the story of Joseph. Joseph was sold as a slave by his brothers into Egypt. We know that story. Many years later, he had become the second most powerful man in all of Egypt. He had all the power, authority, and motive to put his brothers in jail or to have them killed. His brothers were brought before him seeking food for their families. And when they realized that this was Joseph, the one that they sold into slavery, they were fearful for their lives. But Joseph said this to his brothers. He said, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." You see, that's even better than forgetting. That's grace, and that is forgiveness. Because you see, when I remember something that somebody did and what God did for me in spite of that, there's huge gratitude for God in my life at that moment. So what is real forgiveness? Real quickly, the Bible says real forgiveness is four things. One, remembering how much I've been forgiven. You need to remember how much you have been forgiven. How much God has forgiven you. How much the people in your life have forgiven you. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." God forgave you. So be kind and compassionate to one another. You're not forgiven because you earned it. You're not forgiven because you deserved it. You're not forgiven because you promised you'd never do it again. God forgave you before you did all of those things and before you ever thought about doing those things. God forgave you through what Jesus did on the cross. Now it's time for you to recognize that you've been forgiven and you can forgive others as well. It's highly important for us to recognize that in our lives. Secondly, relinquish your right to be even, to get even. Relinquish your right to get even. That's action. Relinquish it. Give it over to God. What does the scripture say? Romans chapter 12, verse 19 says, "Never avenge yourselves. Leave that to God, for he said that he will repay those who deserve it." Do you believe that? That if you forgive somebody, that God is going to take that injustice and he's going to do something about it. You got to give it to him. You got to trust him with it. Give it up to him. Say, "Father, I believe that you're just and you're going to take care of this. Your will and your way be done." Let me ask you a question. Who can deal out justice better than God? Nobody. When my kids were little, and one of them would come to me and say, "Hey, Dad, they did this. They hit me." The first question I would ask them should have been, "Are you okay?" I could tell if they were okay or not. But the first question I would ask them was this: "What did you do back? Did you do anything back?" "Well, yeah, I called them a name, but that was it." "Okay, it's done then." "No, Dad, I want you to fix this because they hit me and I can still feel it. It hurts. All I did was call them a name back." "Okay, but you thought that calling them a name back was justice. You took it into your own hands. I don't have anything to do. You fixed it." "Well, Dad, that's not right. No, that was your dealing out justice. Now, if you had waited on me and just come to me, I would have fixed it for you the way that you're asking, but you didn't. You did it yourself." And God, in many ways, is saying, as long as you want to hold on to unforgiveness and you think that you can deal out justice to this person, you can make this right on your own, knock yourself out. But God says, if you want freedom from that, if you want to be free from what someone did to you, you see, some of you have been holding on to things that happened to you when you were a kid. It's time to turn that over to God and say, "God, I trust you. You are just and you can take care of that better than me." You need to let that weight come off of you today. Forgive. Forgive. And when you forgive, that lays that situation in God's hands for him to begin to deal with in the best way possible. You got to trust him. Three, responding to evil with good. Genuine forgiveness is responding to evil with good. What does that look like? Luke 6:27, Jesus said, "Do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you." When you're able to pray for somebody that hurt you, man, that's healthy. That's good. You say, "How could I ever do that, John?" Well, you got to trust him for justice. You got to trust him with it. And you've got to remember that you've been forgiven. Therefore, you need to forgive them. Only God's love in you, penetrating your heart, can get you to the place where you can pray for somebody like that. Let God's love come in so much that you're able to forgive, you're able to pray for them and ask God to help them. 1 Corinthians 13:5 says, "Love keeps no record of wrongs." It's love, God's love in you, that allows you to forgive and let that go. There's a fourth thing that's a part of genuine forgiveness, and that's this: repeating the process as long as necessary. You got to do these things over and over. Peter asked Jesus, "Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? And Jesus responded, "No, Peter, 70 times 7, which is, in biblical terms, an infinite number. The point is, you forgive as long as it takes. You forgive them as long as it takes for you to be free, to not feel the pain, to not be chained by their actions against you anymore. So how do we do this forgiveness thing? One, your forgiveness of them is none of their business. If they come asking you for forgiveness, your forgiveness of them is none of their business. You don't need them to ask you for forgiveness to forgive them. That's your business. Secondly, so it takes place in the heart with God's love, God's help. Secondly, you know you've really forgiven them when you've created a path for them to come back into your life. If you don't see a path for them to ever be a part of your life again, then you're still chained by that unforgiveness. You're still stuck. But if you're able to see, all right, these are the things they would have to do. These are the things I would have to see for them to begin the process of coming back into my life to restore the relationship. Then you're free when you have that path. You see, I have a couple of people in my life that have hurt me, or they've hurt my family, and I've forgiven them. The reality is, they don't care that I've forgiven, and it's very possible they have no idea that I had to forgive them. You see, they justified their actions so much that they probably don't even realize intellectually and even emotionally realize that they hurt me or they hurt my family. They probably have no idea that I had to forgive them. I've given them over to God. You see, I'm free. I don't have to think about them all day long. I've created a path for them to come back into my life that they may or may not know about. But when they get on that path that's healthy, that would restore the relationship, when they begin that, then I need to start working on this again. But until then, I'm free. I'm free. What does the scripture say about me? What does it say about you? It says, if you've hurt somebody, if somebody is hurting because of you, you need to drop what you're doing. Even if it's in the middle of church, you drop what you're doing, you leave immediately, and you go and you make that right to them. You fix it. That's our responsibility. And when it comes to forgiveness, you say, well, John, why? Why should I forgive? Well, you need to forgive for three reasons. One, you need to forgive so that you can be gracious to others. God has been gracious. He's been forgiving to you. Secondly, because the alternative is bitterness. You'll become bitter. Someone wrote in the book of Job, you're only hurting yourself with your anger. You're only hurting yourself with your anger. There's nothing worse than a bitter Christian. And number three, because God expects it. You need to forgive. You need to show grace because God expects it. Matthew 6:15, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, Jesus said this, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. In other words, there's going to be a reckoning. Although the payment has been paid for forgiveness, for those who choose to hold on to bitterness and unforgiveness in their lives, there's going to be a reckoning. And God expects you to forgive. But John, you don't know what they did to me. Well, all the more reason for you to turn it over to God and trust Him to bring justice to the situation. Haven't you tried long enough? It's not working. It's time to forgive. It's time to let it go. It's time to let grace and love and peace fill your heart. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for what you did on the cross, your forgiveness. Father, thank you for your grace. You give grace to the humble. You forgive us for all of our sin, and we're so grateful. And today we humble ourselves and recognize we are sinners, and we need you. We need your grace, we need your forgiveness, and we're so grateful for it that we give that to others. Help us in our homes to be gracious and kind, slow to anger as you are. Help us, God, to be better. Better friends, better family members, better employees, better church members, better in our relationship with you. Help us to be gracious and forgiving. Maybe you're here today and you need that connection with God. It's time for you to begin to rebuild and restore your relationship with Him. Just do that right now. It starts by accepting Him into your life and saying, God, I want to get to know You. I need to do the work to restore my relationship with You. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You for Your forgiveness. Thank You for Your love for me. Now I need to start restoring this relationship with You. And I embrace that responsibility today and thank You for the opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.